The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, and Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis tells us about the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros on Chanukah. One of the mitzvahs of the day is lighting Chanukah candles, as well as Bahalo Bahodah. As we all know also, there's a mitzvah of saying Hallel every day of Chanukah, and that's where the Rambam puts down all the laws of Hallel. So we'll discuss a little bit about the nature of the mitzvah. So the Gemara in Shabbos tells us there's something unique about Chanukah, different than all other mitzvahs, that we find as a three-tiered level, or what we'll see. So the Gemara says the first level is Ner Ish Ubeso. The minimum requirement is one candle per household. So obviously if someone comes to me before and says, how many candles should I light? I'll tell them the appropriate number. But if someone comes to me and says, you know what? I lit one candle last night. I'll say you have fulfilled your mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. That is your minimum obligation every night of Chanukah, one candle per night. Then the Gemara says the second level is Umahadrin. Those who run after mitzvahs, who are more careful, meticulous, they go by how many members in your household. So if you have 10 members in your household, so every night of Chanukah, you light 10 candles. So level number one is one candle every night of Chanukah. This level number two, Mahadrin, is 10 candles every night of Chanukah. Just parenthetically, if that's true, then we never really had the concept of a menorah, because it's just a bunch of candles, because every house would be different. Some might have 15 members, some might have 4. But so the third level seems to be a third level is a machlokes beis hillel bel shammai. Mahajim and a mahadrin. What's the third level? So beis shammai says you light 8 candles the first night and you go from 8 to 1. And beis hillel says 1 to 8. And the Gemara gives different reasons for their opinions. One opinion is you go by what day of Chanukah it is now. So then I light one candle, tomorrow too. If I say, how many days of Chanukah are left? So the first day is 8, 7. Or the Gemara gives another reason. The Gemara says, Beis Hillel says, Malin b'kodesh v'ein moridin. You always go up in sanctity, you don't go down. And Beis Hillel says, Keneged pari achag. On Sukkot, on the Yom Tovim, you go down from 13 sacrifices, 12, 11, so you go down every day. So why is Beis Shammai pattern it after Sukkot? So interesting, the Mefarshim point out that every rabbinic holiday is patterned after a biblical one. So Purim, let's say one day, Purim is the time of Matan Torah, so that's patterned after Shavuos, which is one day, Matan Torah. Chanukah, 8 days, what other yontif do we have 8 days? Sukkot. So it's patterned after Sukkot. And also there are other similarities. Near Chanukah, you lie outside, or you did anyway. Sukkah, you sit outside. There's halacha, the sukkah can't be more than 20 amas high, because it says, you're supposed to look at the schach and remember the mitzvah. So to near Chanukah, it's supposed to publicize the miracle. If people can't see it, you're not going to. So there are many similarities between Sukkot and Chanukah. So that's the opinion, Machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. As you must figure out by now, we pass in like Beis Hillel, and we lie 1 through 8. So within the Machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, so let's take Beis Hillel. So what does Mahajim and Mahajim mean? So let's say you have 10 members in your household, and it's the 8th night of Chanukah. How many candles? So the Rambam learns it's the third level. 10 times 8 equals 80. If Ner Ish Ubeso means one candle every night, Mahajan means you go according to the number of people in your household. So then that's the second level, that's 10. But so the Rambam says Mahajan is the third level. You do 10 times 8 equal 80. So according to the Rambam, on the last night of Chanukah, you'll have 80 candles in your house. That's the way the Rambam learns. Tosfos learns it's going back on the Neri Shubeso. It's going back on the beginning. In other words, so he says, what does Tosfos say Mahadran and Mahadran is? You have one the first night, two the second, three. No matter how many members of your family is irrelevant to Mahadran and Mahadran. You're like one. So that's the Machlokas Tosfos in the Rambam is, what is Mahadran and Mahadran according to Beis Hillel? If you have ten members, if you only have one member in your home, there's no machlokas. If you have 10 members, so Rambam says you light 80 candles, and Tosfos says you light 8 candles. Interesting, usually the Svardim passing like the Rambam, and the Ashkenaz followed the Bali Tosfos. This is one of the exceptions to the rule, where Svardim goes, again, within Svardim you have different minhagim, but there's some Svardim, this guy one candle, one menorah in the whole house, like Tosfos. And we follow the Rambam of everyone lights their own menorah, so if you have 10 people lighting, you can have 80 candles. So what does Tosfos say? Why is that Mahadran and Mahadran? Because that's Yoter Hekera. Tosfos focuses on, it's recognizable. If you walk by, you see 80 candles. What is it, the 80th night of Hanukkah? Like what am I supposed to get from that? But the Tosfos is saying, one, the first two, it's clear what night of Hanukkah is. So that's how some point out, it depends on the two reasons of the Gemara. If you say it goes by Keneged Yomim Hayotzin Anechnasin, it's key to know what day it is. So Tosfos takes that reason. And the Rambam takes the reason of Malon Makodesh Ve'imoridin, it's not a mitzvah per Suminisa to know it's the sixth day of Hanukkah or the eighth. The point is you should know it's Hanukkah. So the more candles a person sees, the more they'll remember it's Hanukkah. So that's the Machlokas in the Gemara, and the Machlokas Rambam and Tosfos, whether Bahajim and Ahadrin is one menorah per household, or like B'nai Ashkenaz, everyone lights their own menorah. So they point out that actually the Rambam isn't exactly like the Ramah. The Ramah, B'nai Ashkenaz, there's a little distinction between the two. If you look, what our cup minig is, everyone who's going to light, they light their own menorah. The Rambam writes, the Baal HaBayis, the Baal HaBas, he lights all 80. In other words, you get the numbers 10 times 8, but the Baal HaBayis lights all 80. Mm-hmm. So what's that all about? What forced the Rambam to say that the Baal HaBayis has to light all 80? Like, why can everyone do light their own? There's a famous Briska Rav on this. We have to go to a Gemara in Shabbos, in the 19th Perek, dealing with Bris Mila. So Gemara talks about the concept of, by a Bris Mila, it's what the Gemara calls Tzitzin HaMa'akvin and Tzitzin She'ena Ma'akvin. That there's certain, without getting into graphic details, not that I know them anyway, but without getting into them, there's certain parts of the foreskin that must be cut, and if it's not cut, you didn't do the milah, that sits in hama'akvin, it's an obstacle in performing the mitzvah. And then there's sits in she'ena ma'akvin. We want you to do it, but it's part of the mitzvah of zek keli lanveyo. It's part of the hinder mitzvah that it should look nice. So the Gemara says, so obviously, if you realize you finish and you realize you didn't do the Tzitzin HaMa'akvin, so you haven't done anything, so you got to go back and do the Bris Mila. But let's say when you realize you did the Tzitzin HaMa'akvin, but you didn't do the Tzitzin She'ena Ma'akvin. So the Gemara says, if you're still involved in the Bris, then just finish the job. If you pay rest, you've already stopped, so then that's it, you don't go back. So exactly, what does it mean you're still involved? Does it mean you're eating the bagel and lox at the Bris? At what point is considered finishing? But whatever it means is, the Gemara says, you go back for the Tzitzin She'ena Ma'akvin, but if once you stop, that's it. So the question is, why can't you go back? Like, what's the difference if you stopped? So I'll have my bagel and lox, and let's go back and finish the job. Like, what's the problem? So it is a major machlokas, Rashi in the Torah. So some Rishonim learn, we're talking about Shabbos. So I understand that. In other words, this whole halakha, well, it's Gemara Shabbos, it's Hilchas Mila. Only on Shabbos we're talking about, because you can't go, apparently, he's saying, to fulfill the mitzvah Mila on Shabbos, we know the Gemara tells us, the Torah tells us, V'yom HaShmini Yimo Basar HaLasso. Even though by other mitzvahs, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, or Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, we say no lulav, we say no shofar, but Mila is Docha Shabbos, either because Mila is a mitzvah sheyesh bo kareis, and we don't want to take any chances, or as the Taz writes, it's something which is mafurish bekra. Since the Torah says, V'yom HaShmini Yimo Basar HaLasso, the rabbis can't tell you not to do it. So whatever the reason, that's a given, we do the Mila on Shabbos. So that's only for the Tzitzit on Ma'ak. So if you're involved in the Mila, so it's all part of the same job. You can cut off both the Tzitzit on Ma'akvin and the Tzitzit Shein on Ma'akvin. But if Perish, you finished the Bris, and now you can't, an hour later you remember, so if it's Shabbos, I understand. So maybe you can't be Machal or Shabbos for the Tzitzit Shein on Ma'akvin. So I understand, I believe it's Rashi Shita. If it's talking about Shabbos, then I understand the Gemara. But other Rishonim say, Afilu B'chol. And that seems to be the Rambam Shita. The Rambam warns, even during the week, even on Tuesday, if this happens, you better make sure you get a good Moel, according to the Rambam, because that's it. You can't go back. You got to do it right the first time. So the Rambam writes, even during the week. The question is, what's the Pshat on the Rambam? Mm-hmm. So some want to say, maybe because it's considered, so really, it's a chiddush that we can do mila at all. Normally, there's a biblical prohibition, you can't cause damage to yourself. So, if it wasn't for the mitzvah mila, I wouldn't be able to do it. I can't just go ahead and start pricking myself any parts of my body. There's a mitzvah mila, so that makes it necessary. But now that it's only, you already finished the mitzvah mila, so therefore maybe it's not considered enough of a heter now to go ahead and cause more harm. However, the Briska Rav wants to say as follows. He wants to say the Rambam here is Lishitas. And what is the question at hand, the Briska Rav says? We know what is left. Why do you have to do the Sitz and Shein HaMa'akvin? It's part of Hidr Mitzvah, Zek Kelei Banveyo. So the question the Briska Rav raises, Yesh Lach Kor, is does Hidr Mitzvah only make sense in the context of the Maisa Mitzvah? In other words, when I'm involved in the Mitzvah, then the Hiddur makes sense. But it doesn't make sense in a vacuum. I can't just go ahead and hit the Mitzvah independently to go back an hour later and just to do, what am I doing? If I'm not doing Mila, I can't do it. He says, that's me raising the question. Do I say it must be part and parcel of the Maisa Mitzvah? Or no. Hit the Mitzvah, I can do any time. It's preferable to do it right away. So he says, this is the machlokas. He says, the Rambam Shita is that you can't separate the Hiddur from the Maisa Mitzvah. And that's the pshat is, Eino Chozer, it's not meaningful. You can't do a Hiddur Mitzvah in a vacuum. And that's why it has to be, in order to do a Hiddur Mitzvah, it has to be in the context of the Maisa Mitzvah. Mm-hmm. And that's the Rambam Shita. And that's why even B'chol you can't go back. So with this, the Briska Rav says, it's the Rambam Lashitasim. We said, we have a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramah. We said we all agree on 80 candles. The issue is, who lights them? So the Ramah says, we know each person lights their own. The Rambam writes that Bali's going to be busy every night of Pesach. He's going to be lighting, or at least on the eighth night, he's going to be lighting 80 candles. So what's the pshat? The pshat is, what do we say? What is the Iker Mitzvah of Nir Chanukah? One candle every night. So once you lit the first candle, the mitzvah is over. What am I doing? I'm just doing a Hiddur mitzvah. So what's the Rambam Shita? Hiddur mitzvah only makes sense if you connect it to the Maisa mitzvah. So whoever did the first candle has to do the other 79. But the Ramah holds, no. Hiddur mitzvah makes sense by itself. And therefore each person could go ahead and light their own candles even though the mitzvah has been fulfilled. Or that's what the Briska Rav says. One can argue with the Briska Rav and say, you see, the Briska Rav is assuming, according to the Ramah, if you have 10 different people lighting 8 candles, everyone from second and on is only doing hinder mitzvah. Maybe it's not true. Maybe I don't have a mind to fulfill my mitzvah with the first person. But that gets into a separate issue. But that's what he points out. However, perhaps you could say it's a different issue. Because maybe the issue is, what is the nature of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Is what they call in yeshivas, is it a choves habayis? Is it an obligation on the house, like mezuzah? Obviously, not the house, and it's right. Jewish home is obligated to put candles. It's a din that it's not a personal mitzvah. It's a din in the. That's why, obviously, you don't have a home, you're not going to light Hanukkah candles. So it's a question: why not? Is it because you're not obligated? Like an ani, if you're homeless, you have no. Everyone agrees there's no mitzvah mezuzah, because you need a home. So if you don't have a home, the question is, what about near Hanukkah? So obviously, if you don't have a home, you're not going to light. The question is, are you not lighting because you don't have an obligation? Or, no, really, I have to light. I'm just an honest. I can't help it. I have nowhere to light. So is it a choves habayis, or it's fundamentally a choves hagavra? So what some want to explain is, that's the pshat the Rambam holds, that what it's a choves habayis. It's a mitzvah on the bayis. And therefore, once the one person, once you light the first candle, so therefore, the whole house, you yotze already. Everything else is hinder. But the Ramah holds is a choves hagavra. So therefore, every person perhaps has to light their own. The minig is, again, the many Ashkenaz would be light our own and with a bracha. So the question is, the fact that we make a bracha, does that mean, is this a proof that you can make a bracha on a hinder mitzvah? Which itself is a question. So it's not necessarily a proof, because you could say, I'm not doing a hinder mitzvah. I'm doing my own personal obligation. But that itself is a question. But the hinder mitzvah makes sense in a vacuum, or not. In fact, along these lines, whether it's a choves habayis or choves hagavra, there's an interesting split in the Machaber, I believe, that the Machaber says, by Purim, a katan can't read the Megillah. But by Hanukkah, he quotes the Yesh Omrim that a katan can light near Hanukkah. We pass and we want a gadol to do it. But what's pshat? What's the pshat in the lumdis? That a katan could be, we could be yotzi with a katan. So the Chacham Tzvi writes, because by Purim it's a choves hagav, you have to hear the Megillah, and you can't have a katan yotzi. But here it's a choves habayis, so therefore you can entertain, as long as you have a candle lit there, so therefore perhaps it's good. But that's how someone will explain the machlokes Beis Hill. So let's summarize so far. We had the different levels of obligation of Ner Chanukah. The minimum obligation is Ner Ishu Beiso. The second level is Mahadrin. You go by the members. If you have 10 people in your house, 10 every day. Mahadrin. So that's either 80 down to 10, or 10 to 80, depending if you go with Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai. Then within that, within Beis Hillel, we had a Machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam. What does Mahadrin and Mahadrin mean? According to Rambam, it means 80, 10 times 8. According to Tosfos, no. It means, it goes back on the first level, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 8. And Ashkenaz seemed to follow the Rambam in this case, and some Sephardim follow Tosfos. So within the minhag of Mahadrin, the Rambam writes the Baal HaBayis has to light all 80. That's not our minhag. We light our own. What's the pshat on the Rambam? So the Briska Rav says it's Chushitasa based on the Gemara in Shabbos about Sitzit HaMa'akvin, Sitzit Sheina Ma'akvin, the question of whether, why can't you go back if you already finished the Mila, but you left over the Sitzit Sheina Ma'akvin? So Rashi writes, because it's Shabbos. So, okay. But during the week, of course, you go back. The Rambam warns, no, even during the week, you don't go back. Why in the world don't you go back? That's what the Briska Rav says. That's the Nakuda. Does Hidda Mitzvah make sense in a vacuum, or only connected to the Maisa Mitzvah? The Rambam holds only connected to a Maisa Mitzvah. So as long as you're doing the Mila, it makes sense to do Sitzin Shena Ma'akum. If not, you're not gaining anything. Mm-hmm. And the other sheet says, no, even in a vacuum, it makes sense. And it's the Rambam consistent with his view by Ner Chanukah. That's how the Baal HaBayis has to light all 80. because the one who's doing the first candle, he gets the mitzvah, everything else is hiddur, and therefore the Baal Bayit says it all. We assume, no, that hiddur mitzvah either, what he's saying, the Ramah holds hiddur mitzvah makes sense by itself, or we say no, number one is maybe every person is inviting their own, or there's another way of explaining it, in a Tzachovas HaBayis, you know, and therefore, once you get to first candle, therefore, that's it, and then the rest, the rest could be extra. But if it's a Chovas Agavri, each person in the house is obligated, and that's how Hanukkah is different. Because, as we explain, that's as Chazal tell us, one of the things that the Greeks attacked was they attacked the bias. In other words, in contrast to Purim, Purim was Vahashpidu Laharog. Purim, they were out to kill us, and they didn't care. It's what we call it was ethnic cleansing, as they call it. Basically, two types of anti-Semitism. But I'll just use to borrow the phrase: is religious anti-Semitism, and let's say ethnic anti-Semitism. In other words, that Haman, he was just interested in killing us. He didn't care about you. He didn't care if you believed in God or not. Hitler didn't care if you believed in God. He cared if you were Jewish or not. If you were Jewish, you're dead. I don't care what you believe in. It didn't make a difference. And religious anti-Semitism is more, even though they're both absurd, logically, but at least religious anti-Semitism, it's kind of like a competition. My religion's better than yours. I'm going to show you. I'm going to convert you. But as Rabbi Yonatan Eifshitz said to one of the priests who wanted to get him to convert, he said, you know what? I'll give you a prize to Sunday if you convert. So he said to him, he said, my father taught me that if I have a horse and you have a horse and you give me $100 with your horse, that means my horse is better. Because you have to give me to eat. So the whole thing is, you're admitting my religion is better. The whole thing isn't logical, he points out. So the point being, there's two types of anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. And that's what Yaakov said he was praying when Esav was coming. Hatzileinu miyadach miyad Esav. Save me from the hands of my brother. Save me from the hands of Esav. We all know Esav and Yaakov are brothers. What's the double language? Mm-hmm. So that's what the Beis Halevi explains, the two types of anti-Semitism. One is they come as your brother, Miyad Achi, and the other is they come as Esau with the sword. And that's what the Mefarshim point out. Those are the two Yom Tovim of Chanukah and Hallel represent. That Purim represents the Miyad Esav, the physical, they want to physically kill us. But Chanukah, perhaps a more dangerous one, as it says Miyad Achi first, they want us to come as our brothers. No, we don't want you dead. We just want you to accept the Greek culture. We want you to accept our religion. And that's what we do. And we like to. There was a whole fight against the bias, also against the Jewish, the uniqueness of being a Jew. They attack Shabbos, which is uniquely Jewish. They attack Kiddush HaChodesh, Rosh Chodesh, because we have a lunar calendar. And they attack Milah, which is a physical distinction. They want to show we're all the same, just accept the Greek culture. And therefore, the attack was against the Bayi, the Jewish home. Therefore, the mitzvah was set up with the mitzvah on the Chovas HaBayis. But why should it be? And just to conclude, there's a beautiful, it's in the one of the Chassidish Svarim, the Svas Emes, I believe. He writes, we'll conclude, is we know this Manah Gemara, the original mitzvah was to light outside your house. You know, outside. But Manazeh, we light inside. What's the pshat? Why? What's changed? So he says, Al Pidrush, he says, it used to be the Jewish home was insulated, it was strong. You lived in ghettos, you know, they didn't let you mingle with society. There was pogroms, the anti-Semites. So basically, the Jewish home was strong, and you put the Chanukah candle, the Or Torah, on your outside of your door, to protect you, to keep the outside influences out of your home. Today we all know we have TV, internet, and everything else today, newspapers, The foreign influence is already in our house. So we have to bring the Torah or we got to bring the Ner Hanukkah, bring it into our house to make sure to keep the foreign influences away from our home, out of our house. And that's the distinction. That's why the Svasamis points out, that's why the move came from outside to the inside.
Sure.
That's why we're bringing in, we're trying to